It is 7:08. His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is with us. And thanks for joining us this morning. Want to pull that closer?
Yeah, good morning.
We want to hear every word you have to say this morning. Thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy guy, and you got to schlep in here when I ask, and it was very nice. I'm glad you do it.
Happy to do it.
Yes. Okay, so where do we stand in the city of Racine? What are the good things going on today? What are we working on? Let's get all that out of the way before we get to my list here.
Sure.
Before I forget what I wrote.
Sure. No, absolutely.
Yeah. What's going on that's good about the city of Racine right now?
Yeah. So, I mean, we have a couple developments coming up that are pretty exciting. So it'll come up at the next council meeting, hopefully, if we get a quorum to meet. But we've got an expansion of the hotel in the downtown, Hotel Verdant. They want to put in a spa, and then they've bought some land on the river. And
how's that doing?
It's doing well.
Okay,
yeah, it always takes a little bit of time for them to ramp up. I mean, they knew it was going to take a couple years to get the enough people leasing out ahead of time and booking weddings and stuff, but they've been pleased with it. And if people haven't been to the rooftop bar to check out the view of the downtown,
I might do that now. The weather's nicer.
It's open year round. They have a nice like wall of glass doors that open and close, so you can still enjoy it in the winter months, but it's really nice.
Somebody asked me if I stayed there yet, and I said, no, I live six blocks away from it. Right. No, I haven't stayed there yet.
Right.
But yes, I do want to have dinner
but
there.
I mean, it's a great view. You can look over one shoulder and see the Wind Point Lighthouse, look over the other shoulder and see the SCJ Research Tower. It's a great view of the lake and the river. So it's really added a lot to our downtown. They're doing well and want to expand, so we're excited about that. The Breakwater over on Lake, which is our newest market rate housing development downtown, which opened just at the end of last October, is already half full. So we're excited to see the occupancy going on there.
So that occupancy is half full. How many rooms are in there? How many apartments, rather?
It's over 200. I would be guessing if I told you the exact number, but it's over 200, 200, 220, somewhere around there.
I remember when they were building it, you were in here, and I said, I got two levels. Are they going to put a third? They put a third. I said, they're going to put a fourth. Every time you came in, we were adding a level.
It's going up and up. Yeah. So, and that's also got some spectacular views of the harbor. They've got a great community room there. And they managed to build it in such a way where almost all the rooms have a lake view. It might be out of the side of the building instead of the front. But not surprisingly, it seems as though the apartments with the lake views filled up first.
Do you ever get complaints when you build something that close to the lake where some other people say, you just blocked my view?
Sure. I mean, there's always that. I mean, there's some people who would. There's always the risk of when you do some development, somebody will say, boy, I'd rather you didn't. Right. But we are a landlocked community. There is a real housing shortage that exists here in the city and regionally. And so, moving forward, it means that buildings will probably be more dense and taller than they were before. But it was, long ago, a place where they stored, coal piles when they would come in off the lake. So, the city spent a good bit of time before even I came in as mayor cleaning the site up and getting it ready for redevelopment.
Was there a We Energies building there?
It was. So first it was. And so We Energies sold the building to the city. Oh, gosh, must be 12, 15 years ago now. And, Eric Hovde was the developer on it and stuck with it and was glad to have him down here to cut the ribbon on it, and it was great.
We talk about blocking views.
Yeah.
Rod Lancer, he was the comptroller for the city of Milwaukee. He also started Summerfest. He was the first director of Summerfest. He took my parents and I on a tour. He was putting together tours of Milwaukee, and he brought us to this skinny little house. It was called the Spite House. And what happened was he didn't get along with his neighbor, so he built a home. He bought a little plot of land, built a building, a little tiny building, just to block his view.
Wow.
And it's still there, and it's referred to as the Spite House because he built it for spite. This is not the Spite apartment building.
No, it's not. And I will say, what's lining up behind it is a parking lot. And, and what's nice that I really appreciate what they did is they also created some of the land next to it to create sort of some green space to go through. So it really helps connect Main Street if you go down, 6th Street there to, or not 6th Street, sorry, 3rd Street there to connect. To better connect with the marina and the waterfront there. So they have created an easement for some public space to improve access that didn't exist there at all. So I think it's a good improvement. But anytime you do some development, people will say, gee, I remember when this used to be farm fields. Or, gee, I remember when there was nothing here. And, I get that nostalgia.
I remember when the giant dinosaurs were roaming here. Do you... I ask people this in government and elsewhere, but I asked, we have one of the candidates in here for the 5th District, Jens Jorgensen, the other day. I asked him, do you know how long those white lines are in the road when you're traveling? You know, the divider lines, the dotted white lines. Do you know how long they are, each one?
Oh, I don't.
Take a guess. What would you think? How many feet?
5 feet.
See, I would have thought 2 or 3 feet, and I measured it. It's 12 and a half feet, and we had somebody in here from the building department, the road to construction, and he said, yeah, they're all built at 12 and a half feet. Oh. It does not look like 12 and a half feet.
It doesn't.
Feet.
It doesn't.
So I waited till Main Street was empty, no cars, and I went out there and I measured it. It was 12 and a half feet.
Sure enough.
I was shocked.
Wow.
I thought it was like 2 or 3 feet. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you see this. Okay. So that's what's good with the city of Racine.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
doing fine.
Yeah.
Money okay? We're doing okay? We're not broke or anything?
No. I mean, look, I mean, there's a lot going on with the federal government right now, and I will just say, as they're talking about freezing federal funds.
Is this, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this affecting you at all, the city?
I mean, we've not yet, but there's just, I think everybody's waiting. I mean, if they really talk about doing the Medicaid cuts that they're talking about, that'll have real impacts to our public health department if they're really talking about limiting federal funds. I mean, people don't, I mean, just take our transit department, for example. That's 80% federally funded, right? And so if those numbers start to diminish and go away, it makes it harder. I mean, the estimates are somewhere between 30 and 35% of the city's budget is federally funded, either directly from the federal government or through the state that hands out federal funds. So that makes it a real challenge on how to proceed. So, you know, we're certainly looking closely. I know Senator Baldwin will be here tomorrow, actually, to talk about her concerns about potential cuts to Medicaid. So that's real. But for the 2025 budget that passed last fall, we are fully funded. We've got things in place. The Community Center Health Clinic has broken ground and, you know, is beginning to be built. So we are moving forward on our priorities, and we'll continue to do so. But, you know, there's certainly a lot of upheaval happening in Washington right now, where cities across the country are really watching for, like, what does this mean moving forward?
Kind of scary.
It is. It is.
And I feel bad for people that are dependent on programs that they have no control over now.
That's right.
And, you know, you put these programs in effect, people depend on them. They set their lives in order based on these programs.
Yeah.
And then you snatch them away.
Yeah.
And not everybody's that savvy where they know how to get around it. They're stuck.
Yeah.
And I think we have a lot of unfeeling people in Washington that just don't care about people's feelings.
I think if you're removed enough from needing those services, you might just think, oh, there must be a lot of
waste. Yeah, I got a couple of million in the bank. Right, anybody, right. You know, everybody should take their millions and go buy their own insurance.
But the idea that we're going to have billionaires decide that the way we're going to pay for a big tax break for more millionaires and billionaires is by cutting aid and from Medicaid or Medicare or Social Security or some of the other programs that people rely on. I think people voted last fall because they were upset about inflation and the high cost of groceries and wanted something fixed. I don't think people were signing up for having billionaires take away their benefits to pay for more tax breaks for really rich people.
So the price of eggs decided to...
Oh, my God. More than you think. I mean, I think people were really frustrated about it.
They put so much stock in the price of eggs. Did you see what I paid for a dozen eggs? Out! I want them out!
Yeah. I will also say this about government, because, I mean, you know, the city deals with the federal government all the time. And, you know, I'm not somebody to say that the way everything works in government is perfect. There's more bureaucracy than you'd like there to be sometimes. There's more, you know, hoops to jump through. I mean, as somebody who partners with the state and city and federal government all the time to bring resources here, there's a lot of work that goes into that. And you often think, boy, there's got to be an easier way to do this. I mean, you know, we'll use 1 out of 5 federal dollars from Housing and Urban Development just to comply with all the rules, right? I'd much rather put that money into home repairs and some other programs than, you know, filling out paperwork for a bureaucrat in Chicago or Washington, D.C. So I think we should acknowledge the piece of it that's true is, could government work better? Could there be less red tape? Could it be more efficient? Yes. But that doesn't mean you take away people's healthcare benefits or their Social Security or the things that people rely on to be healthy and have some dignity in their old age.
That have no money to deal with it.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I'm very fortunate I can deal with it. A lot of people can't deal with it.
Yeah.
His Honor, just when I opened the microphone, His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is here talking about a variety of topics. Here's one of our listeners wanted me to bring up. TID, which is It's money for repairs for your homes. And his question was, why is his neighborhood not in it, but everybody else's neighborhoods are in it?
Yeah, well, it's not everybody else's neighborhood, but there are five what are called neighborhood tax increment districts that we have set up for people in those neighborhoods to do home repairs, to get their homes up to code or to do some improvement to their home. Those five districts roughly run between... one of them runs between Gould and Melvin, if you live over in that area. Another one sort of on the south side, Historic District, TID 23, and that runs between 12th and DeKoven and as far east as Center Street, so if you're in that neighborhood. There's another one in the West Racine area, sort of if you're between Victory and Linderman and Washington and Ohio, that qualifies for some space.
And when you say qualify, what do they get? What are they looking for?
Oh, it's a great question. Yeah, so what do you get? So you can get up to a $10,000 home repair loan.
It's a loan. You got to pay it back.
No, it's a forgivable loan. Like, you got to stay in the house. Okay. But you got to match. If you want to do an improvement, it's a one-to-one match. If you want to, you know, if you're lower income and you need to do a repair, like you need a new roof or something like that. But what we found is a lot of these neighborhoods, as we've seen houses fall into disrepair, you'll run into a homeowner who might be on a fixed income and say, look, I'd love to repair the roof or put on, you know, new steps on the porch, but I just can't afford it. And so what we were finding is it was a good way to reinvest in the neighborhood. That helps maintain property values and stabilize the neighborhood and helps, you know, people be able to stay in their homes longer than they otherwise might. It's been a very popular program. The other TIDs are around the Spring Street corridor, basically from 38 to Spring. If you're in one of those areas, you can go to our City of Racine Housing Repair Program, and those are the $10,000 forgivable loans. We also have forgivable loans for everywhere else, but those are income qualified spaces, so you have to make less than 80% area median income to qualify there. So we do have loans and grants for just about everywhere. It might not qualify for everybody, but for just about everybody, if you need help with either a low interest loan or a forgivable loan/grant to do some home repairs. We want to invest in you and in the home that you own and live in to help stabilize the neighborhood and help people out with their home repairs.
Now, how do you decide which neighborhood to get these grants?
That's a great question. So state law dictates how you create what are called tax increment districts, right? And so, and the way that works, people will say, well, you're raising my taxes then. We're not. What we're basically saying is in these districts that we create, as the home values go up, instead of putting those taxes into the city for revenue, instead, we put it towards these home repair programs. And you do that for the course of 20-some years of the life of the TID, and you can really reinvest in those properties and make that happen. So we're basically taking the new value on the properties, the additional value on those properties, and reinvesting it into the neighborhoods. You create them, at least half the area has to be blighted. To qualify for a neighborhood tax increment district. But then the other part of it has to be doing well enough that the area is still increasing in value, right? So there's sort of a very, we couldn't just pick anywhere to do a neighborhood improvement did. There are some areas that are not increasing in value, and that's a different set of problems, but TIDs wouldn't work there because there'd be no new revenue to capture. There are other areas that have no real blight in them at all, so there would be no justification to do it. So you kind of have to, it's sort of a Goldilocks approach to it. You know, the porridge can't be too hot, porridge can't be too cold, it has to be just right. So we've identified these neighborhoods that have some housing challenges but are still increasing in value, helps stabilize those neighborhoods, and really helps community members reinvest in those homes.
See, I can never be mayor. I can never be anybody in government because I don't know these things. And I understand you're explaining it, but I could never tell somebody, no, you're not getting money.
Well, again,
that's like I can't be on a jury. Yeah. I can't send someone to the gas chamber. Yeah, I could never do it.
Well, you have identified one of the most challenging parts about being a mayor. You know, you'd love to say yes to everybody all the time, any way you could, right? You want to help as many people as you can for as long as you can. But you don't always have all the resources or all the authority to do all the things that you like to do for everybody. But we, you know, these programs are going to put about $4 to $5 million a year back into home repairs in the community for decades to come. And we think that's going to help stabilize those neighborhoods. And again, if you don't live in one of those districts, but you need help with a home repair loan or a grant, We do have some for everybody else under some other programs. So if you're interested, I encourage people to give my office a call, 262-636-9111, and we can put you and the folks in touch with the folks in the development office and see how we might be able to help you out.
You know, my mother gave me advice when my daughter was born. She said, I did this with you and your brother. You can't say no every single time. Eventually, you're going to have to break down. Even though you don't want to, you've got to say yes every once in a while. Because if that child hears no every single time, they're just going to give up.
Yeah.
And you got to say yes sometimes. Yeah. And that's...
Well, last year, over 200 homeowners got to hear yes on doing some home repair grants. Yeah. So we're excited about the opportunities that that creates.
His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason, is here. We have him for a few more minutes. We've got a clock, a drop-dead time for him to get out. So I'm going to stick to that. His Honor is here, the Mayor of Racine, Corey Mason. Wanted to talk about the elections coming up April 1st. There's a lot of things on the ballot. There's referendums on the ballot.
Yeah.
And people even knocking on my door, you know about that referendum? Yeah, but I want to know, here's what I want. Do I vote yes or no to get that to happen? And that's the trouble with some of the referendums.
Yeah, well, in both of them, you do vote yes. So I want to talk a little bit about the fire department referendum. So we have a federal grant that ends in the year ahead that funds 9 of our firefighters, right? And so we've had it for a few years. The grant ends. We really need to maintain those 9 firefighters. If we don't have those 9 firefighters, it makes response times take longer. And it's relatively cheap, right? It's about $30 a year for every $100,000 value of your home. So for most people, it's, you know, $3 or $4 a month that it might impact their taxes to make sure that we've got good and safe response times from the fire department. The fire department does a great job. Their calls for service have gone up. So we're getting more and more calls in a given year. We really need those 9 firefighters to stay in place. So if you want to make sure that we can get to your house timely, if a loved one needs an ambulance or, God forbid, there's a fire that we need to deal with, please vote yes on that referendum.
Okay, so that one's, if you want the firefighters.
Vote yes.
Vote yes.
Yes.
Okay. What else is it? You know, the other referendums?
There's the school referendum as well. And so that's to add resources to the school district. You know, for whatever reason, the state has not done its fair share of sending enough resources back to school districts like Racine that have needs. And so the school district's essentially saying they need more resources just to maintain the level of staffing and education that they have now. So another important measure, if you care about the public schools and making sure our kids have a chance to get a decent education and bounce back from the COVID and everything else, we really need to invest in those schools. So if you believe in those things and want our kids to have successful public schools, and frankly, you know, as we're trying to get people to live in Racine or stay in Racine, how people feel about those schools really matters. That's what a lot of families look at before they decide to live somewhere. They'll tell me what the schools are like.
Right? You know, when I sold real estate for a short time, 2 questions. What's the house made out of? And how are the schools?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an important thing. If we want to keep people here, we want to recruit families to want to live here, you really got to invest in public schools.
Okay. So the answer, if you want to invest in the public school referendum.
Is yes.
Is yes. And the reason, the mayor and I were talking about this off the air, sometimes they're written in such a way where if you answer yes, well, then you meant no. If you no, right. then you meant yes. And that's why I get so confused on these. And I'm sitting there reading these things like I didn't get out of grammar school. And I'm looking at every word just to make sure I got it. Then I get done and my wife says to me, well, you didn't vote yes, did you? That means you voted no.
Right. So, I mean, I will say they're worded in a clunky sort of way. State statutes requires that the city and the school district write them that way.
It's written in the laws. It must be clunky.
Almost. No, it's actually the language you have to use is actually the verbiage is actually listed in the statute. So we have to sort of copy and paste that and then insert the numbers as they may need to appear. But yeah, it does create a challenge. The other thing I guess I will say about the fire referendum, like, well, if I vote for this, are you guys going to spend it on something else? No, by resolution, it can only be spent on maintaining those positions and making sure that we've got a good fire department that can respond to emergency calls when people need it.
Okay. And finally, this morning, Stuart J. Waddles in our news was talking about the meeting last night. He didn't have a quorum.
Yeah.
The thing was over in 30 seconds, the meeting. What was that all about? What's going on there? Because I don't understand it. And I heard Stuart explain it, and I still don't understand it. And I went to college, and I don't understand
it. Right. So the way the state law works for any city council to meet, 2/3 of the elected officials have to be there to have quorum. There's other committees or you know, nonprofit boards you might be on where you have to have half the people there to have quorum. But under state law, it's 2/3. So we have 15 members of the council with 15 aldermen who get elected around the city. If 10 of them aren't there, we can't have a meeting. So this is the second meeting in a row where we've had enough absences that we couldn't convene a meeting. And so that's,
what was the meeting about?
We had a number of things. We had a couple of developments up. We had a number of proposals to go through. We had grants to apply for. I mean, it's a normal course of a meeting. It's usually a 16-page agenda with quite a few things on there. There were liquor license items on there. There were a number of things on the agenda that we needed to approve, and some of them are timely. So, you know, we need people to be able to. And look, I get some people can get sick, and I think that's what happened in some cases. I've missed meetings in the past because I've been sick. I'm still getting over. You can hear my voice a little bit, the neurovirus that was going around.
Oh, great.
So that can happen.
Let me get the Clorox wipes.
But I will say, you know, if the council's going to function, we do need people to show up so that we can conduct our business.
So why wouldn't somebody show up? I'm not saying that you're right. They could be sick. They could have had an emergency. Why would they not show up? What would be the purpose?
I think you would have to ask them. Why? I mean, I can't speak for the other alders. I just know for us to do the work, we have to actually show up. I mean, there was a time earlier last year where they were intentionally not showing up to pursue an agenda that they wanted to get done. I hope it's not a return to some of that. But, you know, we need people to show up and show up for work to do the work of the people. And I hope that this is the we're not going to see a third meeting where we can't conduct business because people don't show up to do their job.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I know. I told you you'd be out by 1:45.
And minutes to spare. So.
And I keep my word. Just have a seat. Yeah. His Honor, the Mayor of Racine, glad to see you in here. By the way, how's your new office staff?
They're great. They're great. Yeah,
because Ellen in the office retired.
So we got a great new guy named Nick Wilchin. Shout out to Nick. He's a Coast Guard guy who's was working to the Milwaukee DA's office before he came to us. He's doing a great job. So if you call my office, Nick's very friendly. So shout out to Nick, and he's been great in keeping me on the straight and narrow. And, you know, sent me the text message early this morning. Don't forget, you've got to be on WRJN by 7 a.m. So I appreciate that very much.
Did he send you the picture?
Yes, he did. He did.
Our little Facebook picture of you?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. We send that out every day. Mayor, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day, everyone.
And I'll see you next month.